Hey, Donald, how are you, my friend?
I'm trying to hydrate myself, buddy.
I see you're back on the very respectable giant water jug train. I fell off a little bit. I have to admit, in New York City, I've gotten very naughty with my water intake.
Have you gotten naughty with your workouting?
No, and I'm certainly not as diligent in Los Angeles, where there's almost nothing to do except go to work and exercise and go on a hike. But here there's a lot more stimuli. But I have been going 3 times a week, Donald Faison. How was your weekend?
My weekend was great. It was Rocco's birthday this weekend.
Oh, yes. I saw the sweetest picture that Casey posted of Wilder hugging him.
Yes. She was, you know, whenever there's a camera out.
Oh, Rob, she just runs to the camera.
Rob is very ready to pose for it, especially when it's with her brother on his birthday. She's very loving, you know what I mean, towards him. It's such
That's
a great
good.
Picture.
That's sweet.
That's good. What did you guys do for the birthday? I saw there was some, he loves basketball. That's his jam.
Yeah, he plays soccer and basketball. That's his thing right now. And for his birthday, it fell on the same day as his basketball class does. So we hired a man to come in and teach a group of his friends how to play basketball together during pandemic.
That's cool.
Yeah, right. And it's the guy that taught me how to play. Well, he didn't teach me how to play basketball, but he taught me how to become a better basketball player. I was in the NBA Entertainment League with a bunch of people that have been on the show, actually, like Tom Cavanaugh and and Bill Lawrence. Anyway, I averaged like 6 points a game in the league, and then I went to this guy and trained with him for a summer. And at the end of the summer, by the end of the league, I was MVP of the league. I got
there
MVP of the league. And we went to the finals, and the team was like me, James LeJure, Adam McKay, who never showed up, by the way.
Well, he was probably working on all of his scripts, and look how that's right. turned out for
no
him.
No doubt. Terry Crews. who else was on the team?
A lot of good people. We don't need to know all.
Well, there was one really famous person on the team, and I'm forgetting his name Will Ferrell was on the team. And we went to the finals. And
speaking of Will Ferrell, I have become I have a new sort of friend I'm excited about. I don't want you to get jealous.
See, this is the fuck I'm talking about, man.
It's not Will Ferrell. It's not Will Ferrell.
You're going out way too much. You're going out way too much, man, because you had all these new friends all of a sudden.
No, I was at the beach, and it's a few times I've hung out with Chad Smith, who's the drummer from the Red Hot Chili Peppers that everyone says looks exactly like Will Ferrell. Have you ever seen him, Donald?
They do look exactly alike.
They look exactly alike.
Well, they don't look exactly alike.
They do. Did you ever see the bit they did on Jimmy Fallon?
Yeah, I did. It's pretty funny.
By the way, they did it so well that I was like, wait, can Will fucking really play? And it was Questlove playing, and Will was just pantomiming,
right?
But if you're listeners, if you've never seen this, go look. It's so funny because Chad Smith, the drummer from the Chili Peppers, and Will Ferrell look a lot alike. I guess like people say I look like Dax Shepard. I guess, but anyway, they look more alike than me and Dax do. And they did a funny bit on Jimmy Fallon where they were gonna have a drum off. And, like, you know, Chad did some crazy beat, and then it was Will's turn. And Will did a pretty darn good job selling the fakeness because it's actually Questlove over at the side playing for him.
Right.
And it was funny. Anyway, right. He's the sweetest, coolest, most humble, awesome guy. And I've hung out with him a few times, and I saw him. I was at the beach this weekend, and I saw him.
That's great. So we played basketball, and, you know, Rocco, I'm going to tell you something right now. He really does like the sport. He likes it so much that we made, like, that we crashed his basketball class and threw a party, like an impromptu party with his friends, his team, bought them jerseys and everything. And they got to play
That's
a
4-on-4
scrimmage with a referee and everything. So it was
That's
really
so
fun.
Great. Yeah. That's good. You're a good dad. Hey, you know what?
Well, you know what? I got a great
Casey's
wife.
Casey's a good mom.
Yeah. Let's
Casey's
put it that way. Mom. I got a great wife who's a great mom.
Yeah. Let's play her song. You don't go get her. We're just going to play her song.
She's not here, but we'll play it anyway.
All right, just play this song. Here it is.
Casey, come down here. I don't know nothing about raising these fools. So tell me what to do. I don't know nothing about raising these kids. And that's what it is.
What a bop.
Great song.
What a bop.
Great song.
I was sitting with Charlotte Lawrence this weekend at the
She looks like her mom, dude. Holy shit.
She cut her hair short. And she
looks like her mom's. Okay, go on.
Anyway, it was cute. She was writing the song, and she was, you know, sitting there strumming. And then, you know, as we all know, I'm a really good jingle writer. We've learned that here, right? Because I just wrote that bop that you heard just now. So I was like, I never really, of all the singers I know, I've never really sat with someone and was like, oh, but what if it was like, you know, like suggesting a note. Mm-hmm. And she was like, ooh, that's good. And then she started playing, and I was like, oh, shit, I'm getting a co-write on this song. And then she's like, write a lyric. She goes, now we need a lyric for this section. And I'm like, well, can it be a little bit funny? Because I know the song's like a heartbreak story, but wouldn't it be funny if you then sang this? She goes, that's hilarious. Yes, it can be funny. So then my lyric made it in, and I said, we're going to the Grammys, girl. I don't know. I'm going to play triangle on stage. I don't know what.
There you go. You already got a writer.
Zach trying to EGOT out here. He's ready.
He already got the Grammy.
I got the Grammy. That's the only one I got.
Yeah, wait. Hold on. Let me ask you a question. Charlotte Lawrence is in New York too?
Charlotte Lawrence is out at the beach for a couple weeks with her beau.
This is bullshit. You guys are all hanging out.
Listen, you want to come here?
I can't. I have a wife and kids. I can't abandon them. I can't just jump up. I have responsibilities.
You have responsibilities that
I must take care of, Zach Braff.
You have an adult child that should be made to do way more than the adult
My
child
adult child is at her boyfriend's house, probably getting freaking tossed all over the place by him right now.
Whoa. Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Yes.
Whoa.
Yes.
Whoa.
Yes.
I don't know what to do with that.
I don't know what to do with that either, but it's probably true.
You're not cutting it out because it's so cringe. I want the audience to feel the level of cringe.
It's the worst fucking thing that, like, every time she's like, I'm going to my boyfriend's house for the weekend, I'm like, oh, God, I want to kill this guy. I love him, but I want to kill him.
All right. Well, I want to.
Because I know what they're doing. I know what they're doing.
I once subletted my apartment to a woman, and when I came back, did I tell this story already?
No.
I may have. There were handprints all over the wall around my bed.
Like Amityville Horror?
No, I mean, like, I came back, and it looked like, well, a lot of sex had been had in my bed because there's so many hand positions had been used to brace oneself along and around the bed.
Were they big hands, little hands?
I think they were female hands.
Okay. You're guessing?
Anyway, back to my original point.
Right.
I think that, and I'm sorry to get into your business, because you obviously have a well-oiled machine over there, but it's my personal view that your adult child, since she lives with you...
Absolutely not, Zach.
Let me finish.
There's no way that what you're saying cannot happen. I don't give a shit if she's an adult. She's never raised a kid. She does have young cousins and stuff like that, but absolutely not.
She couldn't handle a weekend of babysitting, is what you're saying.
I'm sure she could handle a weekend of babysitting, but I don't know. It has to be. There has to be a better way.
All right.
There has to be a better way. I love you. I love her.
I tried to help.
And you did not help.
I love you.
Okay.
All right. Should we get into the show? It's a very, very weird episode.
I would love to get into this show.
Okay.
Do you want to start it? Or do you want me to start it? Because you've been doing it a lot lately. You've been going you've been jumping in front of me and just going 5, 6, 7, 8.
Daniel, turn it off.
Baby. I want to hear this.
Want to alternate? Do you want to alternate?
We could compromise.
Let's alternate.
Okay, let's get down. You want a 5, I'll say 6. Okay, cool.
No, I'm gonna start the tempo.
5, 6, 7.
About a show we made. About a bunch of docs and nurses and a janitor who loved to hate. I said, here's a story that we all should know. So gather round to hear our Scrubs Rewatch Show with Zach and Dono.
You stupid. You so stupid.
You've been in New York for a while. Listen to you. You so stupid.
Yeah, you hear that on the street a lot. You so stupid.
Welcome to New York. It's been waiting for you.
I love it here. It is fun here, I gotta say.
Yeah. In New York.
Yeah.
Concrete jungles where dreams are made of.
And Broadway's supposed to open on September 2nd. You got to have a vaccination card.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna. You know how they used to have shirts where you could like there was like a pocket, like a see-through pocket on them. I don't know what that was for. Have you ever seen that? But I'm gonna put my vaccination in my little see-through pocket of my shirt. Oh, like the kids who fly when they're young and they have that pouch hanging around their neck.
Yes,
that's what I'm gonna be doing.
What do you think is the most Broadway-ish show ever?
What do you mean? Like spoof of Broadway?
Like if you're going to say that's very Broadway, what show would you say? There's a few of them for me, but one that really sticks out.
Chorus Line.
Chorus Line. Nailed it. Nailed it, dude. Nailed it. Nailed
it. Chorus Line. Chorus Line isn't like a traditional, like, Hello Dolly old school musical. Chorus Line, I just say because it's about Broadway and it's got a lot of dance in it, and it's about people auditioning. That's just also my father. It was my father's favorite. He saw it literally like 9 times.
Such a great show, dude.
Yeah.
No matter how you do it, is if you have the right amount of dancers and that are good, and the lead cast is good.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
It's just monologues. It's a series of amongst dance
musical monologues too.
Right. It's a series of like these stars get a chance to sing to blow you away with their voice and then dance. So,
they're auditioning for the chorus. They're not even auditioning for the leads. They're auditioning for the chorus.
Don't watch the movie, though, because my father was so upset by how bad that movie was. He couldn't get over it.
He didn't like Michael Douglas in the movie?
He loved Michael Douglas. The American President was one of his favorite movies. He was a Michael Douglas fan. But that show was so special to him. The movie got him all riled up. All right. So, listen, I, of course, would not play a Mexican apple thief today.
Okay. Yeah.
But JD, why is JD participating in their foreplay?
That's JD got a kink. JD got kink in him, man.
He must have a little kink.
Yeah, he
got a little kink. I'm kind of like that guy we had on the show who lets his wife go bang his friend.
Yeah, he got a little kink in him because this isn't the first time that he's done this.
Why is he sitting in the room watching them role play?
He sticks around for it a lot. This isn't the first time. He did it with her last boyfriend, too.
For what reason does he possibly want to watch them hook up? It's weird.
Yeah. He's got a little kink in him.
He might have a little of that cuckold. Is that what you said it was? Cuckold.
Yeah. He might. Wow. Yeah. I like the whole.
I feel bad for him, though. I feel bad for him. He's sitting there. He's got no girlfriend. He's sitting there watching his girlfriend hook up with a Ken doll, Travis.
Yeah.
With his dynamite areolas.
Yeah.
You think you're better than me, Keith, with your rock hard abs and dynamite areolas?
This is going to stick for the season. I have a feeling you're going to say
this
a couple
times.
That
might be one of the
times.
Funniest lines I've ever improvised. I just want the world to know.
What made you say dynamite areolas?
Dynamite, I just used, kept as a funny adjective that JD used. I just thought that saying dynamite was funny, and I just decided it was an adjective JD liked. I said it a lot.
How would JJ from Good Times say that line? And your dynamite
and your dynamite areolas.
Would he drop back down?
We would have had to pay $50K.
Yeah, right. That would have cost everything. Yeah,
like an appearance. I mean, I'm not faulting him. I get the hustle, but the appearance was one fee. Saying dynamite was a lot more.
That was way more.
Yeah, we were like, we can't afford dynamite, but will you come on the show?
Right. He came on a couple of times.
Yeah, he was hilarious.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so Michael, we should mention Michael Learned plays Mrs. Wilk. I've never heard of a woman with the name Michael before I met Michael Learned. Mm-hmm. But she's just a wonderful actress. And
Michael Learned, that sounds like somebody else that I know, actually. Are you sure about that?
Yeah, Joelle can double check. I know that her name, I think she was on The Waltons. Was that the famous show she was on? She was on a famous series.
Yeah, you're right. It is Michael Learned. Who is the other one? There's another Michael Learned. I did.
You're thinking of Michael Lerman, who is my friend, the first AD.
Yes. No, no. Yeah, that's what I'm thinking of.
And he first ADs all the big Bond movies now, and he's a big fancy first assistant director.
Right.
That's not him playing Mrs. Wilk.
I know that.
82 years young. Wow, okay.
And Mike was on.
You know who
Mike
I'm thinking of? I'm sorry. I'm thinking of Michael Lerner, not Michael Learned. Sorry.
Joelle, will you look up if Michael Lerner was ever on Scrubs? I know he's been in so many amazing things.
I will.
He's a very, very funny character actor.
Yeah, very good dramatic actor, too. Very, can be very stern.
Yes. And we have the great and we have the great Dave Foley, of course, as our guest star, a very abrasive character.
Yes. I hate passive-aggressive people like that.
Yeah.
And he kind of ticked me off. Like, I could understand why Cox wanted to beat his ass.
I hated him, too. I guess the idea in the writer's room was, what if a grief counselor was really abrasive and annoying? That seems to have been the angle. But, man, it's an odd episode. There's not a lot of plot, all right? So,
well, the plot is that she's dying, and also—
And because Cabbage killed her, by the way. That's never discussed. Cabbage is a murderer.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, accidental murderer, yeah.
Right.
That's that. What's that? Accidental murderer? That Nas song? Dun, dun, dun.
Think how many people could be accidental or murderers these days. I'm just trying to say that Cabbage doesn't realize that he's the reason. All he did was give her love. He touched her and gave her love. But he didn't know he was carrying that virus, the very virus that killed her. It couldn't be more apropos for the world we're living in. But Cabbage never knows, I'm sure.
No, because he's gone. Absolutely.
But he does come back. Doesn't he work in the coffee shop when that opens? Maybe. Coffee bucks?
Probably, yeah. He's really good at making coffee.
Yeah. But I wonder if anyone was like, hey, dude, I'm glad you found a new job and you're not a doctor anymore. But do you know that you killed Mrs. Wilkes?
You killed
Wilkes?
Mrs. Wilkes. You motherfucker. I'm surprised Cox doesn't kick his ass for it. But nobody knows. Nobody knows.
Nobody knows, but we, the audience. Nobody knows, Zach. The only we, the audience, know.
Yeah.
So when we put a beach on the roof because we're very sweet and we want to give her a moment at the beach. Right. I don't know who brought all that sand up to the roof. That was a lot of work for somebody. I mean, in real life and in the show, I'm sorry for who had to carry up all that sand to the roof.
Probably Norm.
maybe they craned it up or something, because that's just
okay.
Not fair.
So first of all, okay, two things that
go
are
ahead.
Two things that are BS in this show. We got to get to
lot.
It right
this,
now.
This whole episode has a lot of BS.
If all of that sand would have fallen into Ted's office,
right.
If the sand to make that sandcastle would have fallen into Ted's office, he would have been dead from suffocating. He would have been buried alive like a tomb from the Egyptians.
He would have been buried. First of all, the sand is not kept track of well, okay? Because there's a certain amount on the roof to make a small beach.
Right.
Now we're to understand that all falls into Ted's office and nearly kills him, and he's not able to answer the radio DJ.
Right.
Played by Mike Schwartz, by the way.
Right.
The voice of Mike Schwartz. You didn't recognize Mike's voice?
No.
It's Mike's voice who, as you guys know, plays the lonely delivery man. What's his character's name? I forgot.
Shit. Lloyd.
Lloyd, thank you. Yeah. And he likes speed metal. So then we see, this is a joke we've mentioned before, that the most unrealistic thing that ever happens in 9 years of Scrubs is that the janitor builds a livable sandcastle in the parking lot.
Right. Forget the livable sandcastle. Let's just talk about how Ted would have been buried alive.
Right.
Like he was Tutankhamun or some shit like that in his office, if that would have happened. That's the first one. Second one. In the car with the three-tap technique.
Wait, you're going way too fast.
I know, but that's bullshit, dude.
Okay.
That's way too much soda. What is it? Is it beer or soda?
It's root beer.
That's way too much root beer to come out of that freaking...
It was hilarious.
It was like you... Come on, man. That was
I
it
love
was
that
very
gag.
Hilarious.
Yeah, I love that gag. And I remember shooting that gag, and I remember thinking, we're going to ruin the inside of this beautiful old Porsche. I assume they just got like something that barely moved that we could just wreck, but...
Still,
I felt bad for that little adorable car.
The body is all you need, baby.
That gag was done great, right? I had a tube going up my sleeve that went inside the can. And I just remember thinking on the day how fucking funny it was. And then I turned to him and I go, the quickest way to my house is to take Elm.
Take Elm.
I can't even believe that Cox... I mean, I know we're bonding, quote-unquote, over our love of Mrs. Wilk.
Right.
But And JD, that was funny when I'm like, darn scooters, get out of my way, Sea Bear. Like, and trying to act like my scooter doesn't work. But then the idea that he's so quickly like, I'll give you a ride home. I guess he just wants to talk about Mrs. Wilk or something.
Yeah,
otherwise, why would he ever invite me in his...
Well, when the show starts off, you know that you're in for a sad episode. Like, it sets the tone right away. Like, you know for a fact, this isn't going to be a lot of jokes. This is going to be so long to a character that we've invested in for, like, 4 or 5 episodes of the season so far. You know what I mean?
But, I mean, let's talk about the plot of this episode. She's dying, okay? Mm-hmm. Ted needs leverage. The janitor sort of serves as Ted's lawyer and clearly knows more about law than Ted, right?
Right. And the C story is Elliot and her booty call.
Elliot doesn't realize that she's falling for Keith.
Right.
Now, what is your storyline? Your storyline makes no sense. All of a sudden, you've got a pimp cane? Why do you have a pimp cane?
Because I'm just trying to be Billy Dee Williams. I'm trying to help the boy out. Like, you know.
I don't understand. Will you explain to me what the hell Turk was doing in this episode?
So, Carl is trying to help out Elliot, right? But Turk sees it as, if I can turn the tables, I can order booty calls whenever I want them.
Right.
Right? So, what he does is he helps out Keith. So the call that's supposed to go to Keith that night doesn't make it through.
Why? Are you involved with that?
I don't think I am, but I am involved with keeping it going. You know what I mean? So that Turk can, because once that happens, Turk realizes he can be like, Carla, why don't you come into the room real quick? And
that's never going to happen, though. That's just not your relationship.
Right, but of course not. But he feels like if Elliot's in this situation, Carla's got to be in this situation to at least find a way out of it.
I missed this whole thing. Joelle, did you understand this at all? All of a sudden...
It doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense.
I was like, maybe the scene got cut out. Why does Donald have a pimp cane, and why is he...
I think someone was like, Donald can do a good Billy Dee. Let's throw it in there.
No,
let's
that's not Donald doing Billy Dee. That's Turk doing Billy Dee. I don't do Billy Dee Williams at all, man. I love the man so much. I do a horrible Billy Dee Williams accent. Impersonation, but that's Turk's version of Billy Dee Williams.
It was
fuck
amazing.
That shit.
I'm not taking
right on.
I think it was pretty good. I thought it was pretty good. I just didn't understand it at all.
Yo, so I watched Dave, dude.
Do you like it?
It's good. It's, you know, it's not Ted Lasso. Nothing's Ted Lasso.
Right.
But it's good. You know, next is Atlanta. That's the next one.
Okay.
But I watched Dave.
Wow.
I was wrong. But you watch all of Dave?
I watched all the way up until after Korea. With the new season.
He watched,
I watched all of the first season.
He watched episode 1.
You're right. It is bizarre. It's like really weird. Like it's,
With Benny Blanco where they're like basically hooking up. That was hilarious.
I don't think you've seen that one yet though. That's later in the season.
Oh yeah. You gotta, if you watch no other ones, watch episode 3 of season 2. It's
Chuck,
so fucking crazy.
That's the next one.
Chuck, you gotta watch that one.
And actually the other one that's great is when he goes to Rick Rubin's house. That one was really good.
Okay. It's just interesting to watch.
It's bizarre, but I just thought, because it's about rap and the rap world, I thought you'd like it. The other thing that's really cool about it, and you mentioned this because you texted me, is that this guy, this gentleman who plays Gata.
He's the best part of the show.
He's an incredible. Will you look up what his name is?
Gata.
I know he's the real guy. He's like Dave's real, or Lil Dicky's real friend and his real like hype man. But it turns out he puts him in the show. He's like an incredible actor. Like the guy should be nominated for awards. He's incredible.
It's raw. It doesn't feel fake at all. You know what I mean?
But I mean that episode dealing with his mental illness.
Oh my god!
It was like you couldn't have. There isn't another actor that could have done. I mean, I don't know if it's the gentleman's real story or what. But
no, but
hell,
he hits beat.
It is his real story.
Yeah, he's bipolar, and
he hits these beats.
His struggle.
He hits beats really well, man. Like. You know, it's very clear that I don't know if he's not an actor and this is his first time doing it. He's rookie of the year in my eyes because that dude freaking plays that character very, very, very well. Even if he's playing himself.
His name is Deviante, a.k.a. Gata Ganter.
Yeah, he's very good on the show, man.
If you don't watch Dave.
All of them are, really.
Just I know they're all great actors, but I'm just amazed that when I was watching that guy, Gata, act, and I'm like, how have I never seen this actor before? He's fucking incredible. He lights up the screen. He can do comedy. His drama brought me to tears.
Yeah, his drama.
Then I read up like, no, he's not an actor. He's really in Dave's, you know, group of posse, whatever you call it.
Right. They're all good. The girls are great too. The Asian girl.
She's great.
Yep.
And Christine Coe.
All right, watch Dave, everybody. All right, Cocoon. JD tries to describe what death is like, and
he describes Cocoon.
He describes the ending of Cocoon.
Yeah. Did you say Cocoon?
We should probably say Cocoon, like
Cocoon,
raccoon.
Like raccoon. Cocoon.
I loved Cocoon when I was a kid. Are you kidding me?
Did you see Cocoon: The Return?
I don't think so. I think I stopped at Cocoon 1.
Cocoon: The Return is just as good. Cocoon and Cocoon 1.
How many cocoons are there?
Cocoon 1 and Cocoon 2.
You just like saying Cocoon.
Cocoon.
Steve Guttenberg. How does someone go from being Steve Guttenberg? I mean, where is Steve Guttenberg? How his career should not be over. It makes no sense.
This is what I don't understand. Steve Guttenberg at one time was the biggest star.
The biggest star. Every
but
movie.
But he wasn't considered the biggest star. That was the thing. Like, Steve Guttenberg was the biggest star when he did Three Men and a Little Lady or Three Men and a Baby. Tom Selleck still trumped him, even though Steve Guttenberg at the time was the hot, you know, Police Academy dude and everything.
Well, when we were kids, he was a major star, probably because we loved comedy, and Police Academy 1 was just a masterpiece.
So was 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, and 20.
How high did it really go? Like 7? I remember like 7 had like jet skis.
Do you know the story of Police Academy?
The story is that
a buddy of mine directed it. He directed. He was
number 35. He directed.
He directed one, and he was married to. I think he might have even directed the Tom Hanks movie we were talking about, Bachelor Party. Anyway, his name is Neil. He directed it, and it's pretty much the story that I'm not completely 100% sure of this. But it's the story that Eddie Murphy and Steve Martin did, where they make the movie by sneaking it and everything like that. He would sneak onto the Paramount lot at night until he got busted making this movie or editing this movie, one or the other. But
probably
he was
editing. It's pretty hard to sneak onto the lot and make a movie.
Right. Well, anyway, he was taking props or something like that for the movie. But he directed a lot of episodes of Clueless. He was married to Amy Heckerling.
What's his name? Joel, will you look it up for us? There are eight movies of Police Academy, Donald.
Wow.
Eight. Now, if you're listening and you don't know what we're talking about, you only really need to watch one because it was a masterpiece when we were kids.
One of the best movies. I don't think you could get away with a lot of the things.
The
that
guy,
were in that
the
movie.
The actor who makes all the crazy sound effects, he
Michael
he,
Winslow.
Yeah, he was just on America's Got Talent or something, like bringing it back, doing his effects.
Hugh Wilson. Yeah. Okay, I could be wrong. Neil Israel. That's who it is.
Okay. Well,
story by Neil Israel.
He did a good job.
Yeah, he didn't direct it. He wrote it. I thought he directed it. That's weird.
Well, you're just full of misinformation today.
I am, so let's cut that all out.
Do you remember? No, that was all fine.
No.
Don't cut that out now. I have a question. Do you remember the Simpsons episode where Homer joins the secret society of
Stonemasons.
Right? Mm-hmm. And they have to sing the song.
Yep.
And one of the lyrics is, "Who made Gutenberg a star? We did."
So good.
Fucked up.
Well, I don't know if it was really dissing Gutenberg. Is it dissing Gutenberg?
I don't think so. It's a joke. It's like an honor to be on The Simpsons.
No, they're saying that they control everything. And
I'm
going to
name the movies that Gutenberg was in since you've sent me down this rabbit hole. He was
okay, wait, why don't you do it? After a quick break. We'll be right back.
Nobody cares after the break, Zach.
We will listen. We will also keep talking about Scrubs, but we'll also read Steve Guttenberg's IMDb page. We'll be right back.
Yes.
And we're back.
We're back.
All right, Cocoon, Three Men and a Baby.
Here we go. Police Academy, Three Men and a Baby, Police Academy 2, Police Academy 3, Police Academy 4, It Takes Two, Cocoon. Do you remember him in Short Circuit? Johnny Five is alive.
I don't remember Steve Guttenberg in Short Circuit.
Well, he's in one. He's in one, not two. So then he goes from Short Circuit to Three Men and a Little Lady.
Okay.
The Big Green.
No,
which
wait.
Was a,
sorry, wait. He was Three Men and a Baby, then Three Men and a Little Lady.
No, Three Men and a Baby came after Police Academy 1. So he was like hot on fire. He went Police Academy 1 and then Three Men and a Baby. Then he did a bunch of Police Academies. In between that, this is out of order. I take this back. Damn, man, this is bullshit.
Anyway, it doesn't matter. Okay,
look, no, because look, it does matter because I want you to see the streak, and why he was a star. He went Police Fuego. Academy, Cocoon, Short Circuit, 3 Men and a Baby.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, those were the movies.
And then sequels.
He was also in Diner back in 1982.
Yes, of course. His career began with Diner, I believe.
Yeah, and then he returns in Cocoon, The Return.
You're not saying it right. Cocoon.
Cocoon. Cocoon.
All right, let's
Cocoon.
Move on from Steve Guttenberg. Okay. But ladies and gentlemen, see Diner, see Police Academy 1. You don't have to watch 2 through 8. See Cocoon.
Cocoon.
See The Big Green, too. That's a great movie.
The Big Green.
I love The Big Green.
I never saw The Big Green.
It's a kid's movie about him coaching a soccer team. In Alma, Texas.
Okay. So, Donald, you and Carla go to camping with your neighbors, and you eat squirrel chili.
Yeah, so, you know, as most married couples find when they are married, you don't necessarily want to hang out with your single friends anymore because they're single and you don't want to hear about single lifestyles anymore.
That made me feel very good because I'm in a relationship now, but for many years I hung out with you and I was single.
Yeah, but you know, we looked at you.
Endured me. You tolerated
me. Yeah, we understood the situation and we made a pact between each other that we were going to allow you into the relationship. Anyway.
Do you have couples that Casey loves going out with that you can't stand?
No. Thank goodness.
Okay.
Thank goodness. We have
Zach, I love you.
sorry, go ahead.
We do have a bunch of friends that are like, we go out as couples all the time. Like, the dudes don't hang out as dudes.
Right, right.
That's they only hang out when they're together with the wives.
Yeah. Now, Turk tries to be a sport. It turns out these people aren't really their neighbors. They live in the woods behind
their home. Yes, behind the apartment building that we live in.
And
which
Carla
is very, 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 very dangerous, dude.
And Carla is pissed that you couldn't just suck it up and eat some squirrel tail.
Yes, because she wants to have legitimate relationship conversations with other relationships.
I don't know why Carla was so down to eat the poorly made squirrel chili.
She didn't want to eat it either. She said she wanted to go home also.
No, but later she says, and we could have hung out with them again if you could have just eaten that squirrel tail.
So listen, I want you to understand something. If Turk eats it, we're all good and Carla doesn't have to eat anything. So that's, you know what I mean?
I see.
Like, it's not that she had to eat it. She could eat very little. She could pretend to eat it and be like, I'm watching my weight. Turk has to eat that shit.
Okay, I got you. So we learned in some backstory that Kelso hates bicycles because his father left him on a bicycle.
Yeah, on his, not only a bicycle,
his bicycle.
Yes. Yes.
His father, Kelso's father, loaded up his son's bicycle and
with all of his belongings.
With suitcases.
Yeah, with all of his belongings.
He had a reason why he couldn't take the car because it was in the family name and they'd be able to track him down or something.
Something like that. And he wouldn't be able to leave them forever.
Okay. And then do you notice that he gives his son a handkerchief? And did you notice the handkerchief is in the dashboard of his car this many years later?
I did not notice that.
You didn't notice that?
You got that from Wiki.
I noticed it, but then Scrubs Wiki mentions it. It's a little Easter egg for those of you that like Easter eggs.
You got that from Wiki, man.
I swear, I always credit Trevor and his Wiki posse. I happen to notice that. Wiki did have a problem with the sand as we are because the amount of sand isn't matching up. Also, once the sandcastle's taken down and the janitor's sitting on a pile of it and it saves Ted once he loses in a game of chicken to Kelso on his bicycle, it's not nearly the amount of sand that would be required to make that sandcastle, okay?
No, not even close.
Then, part like G that's fucked up about this sandcastle is then, at the end of the episode, we're back on the roof with the sand again. So did we lug the sand back up?
Maybe he didn't get all the sand off the roof.
So you're saying...
No, I'm not saying anything.
I'm just saying anything. Ted was almost drowned.
There's nothing logical about this from the beginning. Then you can't follow the logic. There's no way.
Bill phoned this one in. I'm sorry. Although it was written by Tad Quill, who's a very talented writer, and I love him. But this one's got some gaps in it. This one is not living up to my season 5 standards.
Oh, you didn't like this one.
It's okay. What about when I duct tape prosthetic arms?
Yeah.
That's my body.
No, you borrowed prosthetic arms.
I borrowed.
Yeah.
So I went to a patient and say, hey, I have to beat my my colleague in a contest. Can I borrow your prosthetic arms?
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, sure.
Mm-hmm.
Here. But they're not even prosthetic arms, by the way. They're like mannequin hands. They're like
mannequin hands.
With like stuffed animal sleeves.
Yeah.
How would anyone use those as prosthetic arms? That made
now, what's
no
the
sense.
Door? You have
what about when I go Cox? I go, you should punch him. He goes, I'm gonna punch him, and I take the mannequin hand, and I'm like, I bet his face is soft. It's so random.
What about the Dorian and Cox Clinic
in Tallahassee? Is that where I want to do it?
Or was it Jacksonville?
Jacksonville. I don't know why my fantasy for our partnership is in Florida.
Well, that could have been a spinoff. That could have been a spinoff.
I know. Johnny and I fucked up. We should have had our spinoff. That would have been our version of Joey. Anyway, right before Kelso runs over Ted, he screams, why'd you leave me, Daddy? And then the janitor goes, now we got leverage.
Yeah. And then Ted falls for the okey-doke anyway, man. Like, that's the, like, what a sad.
I know. I feel bad for Ted.
Yeah,
he only, what a sad sack. The janitor tries to negotiate for him.
Yeah.
Ted doesn't know anything about being a lawyer. The janitor is kind of explaining to him what leverage is.
The most fucked up part of the whole thing is when Kelso comes into the office and he's like, now that it's just you and me, let's have a conversation.
No, he goes, no, it's worse. He goes, now it's just lawyers. Me and you, no lawyers.
Yeah, no lawyers.
First of all, Ted must really like the WNBA because he first bribes him with a WNBA All-Stars tickets.
He's like, yes. Yeah, right away. Janitor's like, no, you're going to have to do more.
We also learned that Ted works weekends for Kelso because all he ever gets in the end is
seven Sundays off out of the year.
I think it's seven Sunday afternoons off.
That is correct.
And he gets a random bust of himself.
Yes, of himself.
With a removable hairpiece.
Yes, and two WNBA All-Star tickets.
I don't know why Kelso chose as the gifts to have a bust made of Ted.
He knows Ted. He knows that he could give Ted anything and Ted's going to be appreciative because he gives him nothing ever.
Or maybe he thought that Ted was just so insecure and such a basket case that only like great men, quote unquote, have a stone bust of themselves. And maybe he thought that would just tickle his ego in the right place.
And then the stone hairpiece.
Yeah.
Really,
that's the crazy. He got a stone toupee.
Like, I just don't understand the writer's room this week when they were like, okay, what are going to be Kelso's offerings?
He should get him a bust of himself
with a removable hairpiece.
With a removable,
removable
hairpiece.
Stone hairpiece.
Right. That's the kappa. That's what starts. That's like, that opens up negotiations right
there.
Yes.
Ted likes it at first, but then he really likes it.
Yeah.
So okay, we JD and Cox are going through the five stages of grief alongside. Well, Miss Wilk, we don't really. Even
she's
see
already.
Her.
She's already at the.
She's dealt with it. She's made her peace.
Yeah, it's a very emotional episode. At the end of it, I really wanted Casey to be watching it with me because she was so invested in the episode that came right before this. You know, And you know, at the end of it, it was sad. It's like it was exactly what I expected. Like they warned me at the beginning of the show, Bill and the cat and the writers warned us at the beginning of the show. This is going to be a different episode. Yeah, it will have comedy in it, but at the end of this episode, she's not going to be here anymore. And we're letting you know this now.
Did you notice that in the cafeteria? You have the same brand of root beer on your tray as the one JD used his three-tap method on?
I did not.
Again, that is not from Scrubs Wiki. I noticed it.
Bullshit.
Easter eggs, baby.
Bullshit. You don't pay attention to shit like that, do you?
I do.
Really?
I love it when I see little stuff like that.
Do you love it when you see a boom mic drop in?
No, I hate that, but you don't see that anymore.
Do you remember when you used to see that all the time?
You used to see it all the time. Sometimes it has to do with like how it's been reframed for television.
Yeah, yeah.
Because sometimes you'll see boom mic like 10 times, and it's just because like somehow when they transferred it, they did it too wide.
Right.
And like in just a few inches matters, and all of a sudden you see boom mics in every fucking shot.
Yeah. There weren't a lot of major events in this episode.
Like, well, Elliot's in love with Keith. So that's major.
Well, yeah, that's the end of the show. Other than someone passing away, Elliot finds love at the end of the show, and that's really cool.
She does a cute little lip bite. You know I'm a sucker for a lip bite.
Everybody
does. She does one of these.
Whenever they do the lip bite.
Yeah, it's not an Alicia Silverstone halvesy like this.
That's the best. The halvesy Alicia Silverstone version.
Alicia mastered that, as we know.
Did you ever ask her to do that for you? Like, I should ask her the next time I see her, be like, can you just do the lip bite one time?
I don't know, but she really was the master of it. But Elliot gives a little variation on it in this episode, which I appreciated.
I love a lip bite.
And it's very sweet when Foley finally comes around and says something kind. She was lucky to have you two as doctors.
But I feel like it's condescending too, though, man. Like, and I know it's not meant to be, but his character throughout the show is so you know, he's that even it doesn't feel earned as much. I mean, I don't want to say it doesn't feel earned. That's not what I'm saying. No, I guess I am saying that. It doesn't feel earned, man. It feels like there's a but at the end of that shit too. Even with you guys going with finally getting to acceptance and realizing she's leaving, it still feels like because of how the characters played throughout the episode that he's not really sincere about it.
I didn't think that. I disagree. I thought he was a dick and I didn't like him. I mean, I was meant to not like him. He's supposed to be abrasive and annoying. But at the end, I thought he was sincere when he said that.
But I think that's why I loved it so much when the car whacks his bike and
that
takes
was
it
funny.
You know
that
what
was
I mean?
A great
but you
button.
Know what I mean? But you know, like it's like even
Kelso though he hasn't learned his lesson though. He's still taking people out on bicycles.
Good. Good.
There should be that's a next episode where Dave Foley has leverage.
Is suing? Right.
And the show ends with a beautiful Pearl Jam song, The Long Road. I love me some Eddie Vedder.
You a big Pearl Jam fan?
I love Pearl Jam and I love Eddie Vedder. I just think his voice is just very special to me. I think he's just there were a lot of Pearl Jam albums that I loved.
And, that's your youth? Is that your youth?
And they got some more coming out.
Is that your college years, Pearl Jam?
Definitely. Definitely college years. Smashing Pumpkins, Pearl Jam.
I do like some. I like, you know what I like? 1979?
Yeah.
Justine never knew the rules.
We could play it for you right now
hung
if I heard, allowed
with
us to.
The freaks and ghouls. It's a Lava tripping like a stone. I love that song. We don't even know.
Oh, you didn't know I had a snare. All right, we got a guest, Joelle?
We do.
All right, we'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen, with a really fun guest. And we're back! All right, Joelle has curated a genius guest as she always does for us. Thank you, Joelle. Here's a little theme song for our guests.
We got a caller who gave us a holler. We can talk Star Wars or sing show tunes, you know, like a baller. Smoke some jazz cabbage, maybe talk about the episode. So come on, Joelle, let's get the show on the road.
Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for Taylor!
Hi, welcome to the program.
Oh my gosh, this is so unreal. Sorry, I just like need to take.
Is that a gamer headset you got on?
Are you a gamer gal?
My husband's trying to make me become one.
She's wearing a gamer headset. What games does your husband play?
All of them. We have in our home about 13 different gaming systems.
Oh shit!
Wow,
you're right up Daniel's alley. Yeah,
I'm gonna tell you something right now.
Every one of the games.
Oh jeez.
If you're going to play a game, if there's a game that you really want to learn.
Uh-oh, this can be controversial.
Breath of the Wild.
Yeah, good choice.
The Wild?
Breath of the Wild.
Breath of the Wild.
That's Zelda.
It is on my Zelda. List. I have played Kingdom Hearts.
Classic.
A good one.
Right?
Cool.
Great. Isn't that one. The one I'm in as Chicken Little?
Probably, yes.
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 Yeah, I'm in that game. I'm in that game as Chicken Little, Taylor.
That's so nice. Cool.
Incredible.
I don't think I've made it to Chicken Little's level yet.
I don't know how to play the game, but I just know that Chicken Little appears. All right, go ahead.
That's a PlayStation game or it's a Nintendo game, though?
PlayStation game.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Mm-hmm. All right, what other games are you playing, Taylor?
Diablo 3. I have a kick-ass Demon Hunter.
Nice.
I used to have a Necromancer, but my husband had to reset everything when he got the new Xbox, so I lost my Necromancer.
No. You got a new Xbox? How come you got a new Xbox?
She said she's got every game system.
All but the PS4, or PS5, nope. Excuse me. All
nobody has a. Does anybody have a PS5?
Joelle and Dan will have them.
We do.
To say Joelle and Daniel do. I think they talked about
I'm sorry. Hold on.
One of the episodes.
How the fuck did you get a PS5?
Daniel?
I hunted down the internet like crazy. I was on the websites every damn day.
He had a
beating the bots
setup
at every moment.
Hold on.
It sounds like you're saying Hodor.
Hodor.
Hold the door.
Yes.
How much did you pay for your PS5? Tell the
retail
truth.
Retail price. Both of them.
Daniel doesn't fuck with second market. Come on. All right, listen. Donald, I'm sure you could get a fucking PS5 if you want.
You can do it.
Not for retail.
All right.
They're really hard to get, especially out here. Like, they're almost always.
Well, where are you?
Yeah, where are you, Taylor?
Utah.
Oh, okay.
Utah. Imagine. Are you in Salt Lake City, Utah?
No, I'm a little bit more south. I'm in Provo.
Provo, Utah.
Do you like where you live?
It's not bad.
Are you a snowboarder or skier?
I'm neither. I've been in Utah my whole life and I don't do either.
It feels like a hobby you might want to pick up, Taylor. You're living in one of the most beautiful skiing places in North America.
I know, but I fall when standing, so I'm scared of what happens when I'm
All right. Well, welcome to the show. Oh, wait. I have one more question about gaming, and you can all answer, okay? Because I think this is – sometimes we talk about gaming on the show, and I'm just thinking of the audience. Some of them might go, oh, I don't game. I'm bored. So if someone were to look for a great game to be their first, like, okay, I'm going to explore the world of gaming. So not something that's so incredibly hard and all these other people are going to yell at me and call me a noob, but something that I would really get into and be like, oh, I can play this at a beginner level. It's beautiful. This is cool. I might like being a gamer.
Zach, I'm going to get you a Switch, man, because I really think you should play Breath of the Wild. I'm telling you right now, dude, this game was made for someone like you who's not necessarily into gaming, but is like curious about, well, what is everybody kind of playing right now? It's in the format of like what Call of Duty looks like, kind of.
Oh, but it's only on Switch?
It's only on Switch. It's kind of like it's not over the shoulder, but it's like a third person shooter, pretty much. Okay. But it's an open world.
I don't want to harm anyone.
You fight goblins and
I'll hurt goblins.
Monsters imaginary monsters.
And then,
I can
not
hear
only
my
that,
father saying, "Well, those poor goblins and their families. What about their goblin families?"
But not only that, it has puzzles, like so many puzzles,
brilliant puzzles,
like similar, like 3D type Tetris type things. Like everything is a riddle. Everything
Daniel
is like
should do it on when he twerks on his stream.
That was one. I'm sure that was one of the things that they want. Well, there's a game. Well, I'm saying this is for beginners. Because then you can get major level with it and get like Red Dead Redemption or Grand Theft Auto.
That would have been my suggestion. Red Dead Redemption 2.
So Daniel's suggestion is Red Dead Redemption 2. Joelle?
Listen, it depends on what type of gamer you are. I think Donald's got you pegged, but if you're just chilling at home, I stick with the Switch because Nintendo games are very like user friendly,
yep.
very old school, but like got into the new like systems formatting of games. So it's a nice blend of old school and new school. I like Animal Crossings. It's the game I recommended for my
A lot
mother.
Of people love that game. Yes.
You
a
just
lot
build
of
your little island and you're, you never
oh,
harm
is it like
a
the Sims?
Soul.
Is it like the
yes.
Sims?
Yes. It's like baby Sims with little animals. It's yes. cute and fun.
Okay. And I don't have to kill anyone.
No, and if your friends are playing, you can go visit their islands and bring them
oh,
little gifts.
Donald, can I come over to your island?
Absolutely not.
Wow.
Is my animal allowed to mount Donald's animal?
There is no mounting yes. of any kind yes. in Animal Crossing.
Oh. No, no, no. It's a well, new patch. Not... You can mount him. No, you
I
can
would
mount
like
him.
A pat.
No.
I would like a sex
if you,
patch.
If you, listen, if that is.
Is there a
that,
sex patch?
See, I'm going to tell you something right
I don't
now.
Like what's happening
this would
here.
Make this would make good video games if you could be like, yo, I'm going to come visit you. We gonna fuck, and then I'm gonna leave all in the video game. I'm telling Whoa. You right now, make a great video
probably
game.
Probably is that. Did you ever play Leisure Suit Larry in the Land
of
the
Of course,
lounge
in the Land of the Lounge boy. Lizards. Best video game ever made when I was a
the
kid.
The first one. The first one, I couldn't believe
no,
it.
No, Leisure Suit Larry Goes on the Cruise 2 was dope. That
I
shit
never
was
played
fire.
That one. Those are Sierra games before Sierra, Joel man. And Daniel's day. But you, some of
you
listeners
play,
know Sierra
you could play
games.
Leisure, you could play Leisure Suit Larry on your iPhone. It exists.
Really?
The mm-hmm. the yeah
the first one
they
well
it.
it's kind of like the first one but it's
all right
it's,
let's come on let's focus on yeah. Taylor do you have a question for us?
I do. It's a Star Wars question.
Oh
by the way, Taylor's wearing a beautiful blue fake Doctor's Real Friends tank top.
Gotta
with
represent.
Me with me
represent,
riding
represent.
Donald, which you too could get if you like merch at cottonbureau.com. You just look up Fake Doctors, Real Friends. We have all sorts of gear. There's everything you can think of. Sorry. Go ahead, Taylor.
It's all good. It's super comp, by the way, to anyone
Thank
listening.
You.
Super comp.
Appreciate the endorsement.
I know there have been a lot of, like, Star Wars origins. Like, we've seen Solo. We had, I guess, Luke, in a sense, and, you know, Rey, all those. What Star Wars origin do you guys want to see next?
Wow.
Good question. You asked the right three people because they're going to all geek out now.
I want to see Yoda's origin. Would be great, but also maybe too much. Like, the great thing about Yoda is that he's a mystery, right? So you don't want to learn too much.
But
so
how do you know that Gru? How do you know that Gru?
Grogu.
Grogu is in Yoda.
Because his name is Grogu.
And
but maybe he changes his
Yoda.
Name.
It's not. It's the
it's
entire.
Five years.
He's,
okay.
It's,
okay. Sorry. Timeline's fucked
timeline
up.
Timeline doesn't line
to
up.
To be honest, until this moment, I thought Grogu was Yoda. Okay. Go ahead.
No.
We've been calling him Baby Yoda. That's acceptable.
It's totally yeah. acceptable. But I think Qui-Gon Jinn as like right before he becomes a Jedi Master, so he's already
well, so
you know.
Wait, so you're talking
got
about
Obi-Wan
when
his apprentice?
Oh well, we did see that kinda.
A little bit, but like before he becomes a master. So we're going like maybe
well, he's not,
15.
Qui-Gon never becomes a master. He's a knight he... in the opening of
Phantom
Menace.
But like 15 years before we get into Phantom Menace.
So
like...
when he's got, so he does he have Obi-Wan or does he have Dooku? Is Dooku still his master?
Ooh. You yeah, Dooku should definitely be his master because then you get the cool switch for Dooku.
You
like
Dooku.
Seeing him do the full flip would be really intriguing. I'm definitely about this. Yeah, I think that's where I would go because you don't want to go either that or you're going way back to Origins and that's too much time to explain on this show. So yeah, I think that's where I would go with
Baby
it.
Dooku.
Baby Dooku.
All right, your turn, Donald. Who's your origin story of choice?
That's a tough one. We've seen all of the main characters' origin stories.
Baby
you
Lando?
Know, we've no. Mm. We know how Boba Fett's made. We know how, you know, we've seen it all. But I don't know if it's an origin story. I know how Darth Vader's made, but I'd like to see everything that happened in between episode 4 and Revenge of the Sith. So
that little tiny bit at the end of Clone Wars gives you, the TV series?
Right. Well, yeah. you know that he's hunting Jedi and stuff like that. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And you know that he does that against the Rebels cast and everything like that. But I would love to see, like, we got a little bit of it in Rogue One, but I'd love to see Vader in his prime.
Okay.
That would be great.
Daniel?
Mine's a little bit more abstract, but I want to see the origin story for the program manager who built the Death Star. the person who was ordering all of the little engineers around who were like, okay, so now you have to go install the toilets.
You saw it. And you saw it. You go to,
no. But I don't mean like Rogue One style of like seeing like the plans of the Death Star. I mean like the person who was like, okay, we need 30 trillion tons of steel. What asteroid are we going to mine to get 30 trillion tons of steel? Okay, we need this many copper pipes.
That's the most boring movie ever in the history of
Thank you. Yes, exactly.
It's Star Wars' first comedy.
It's not even a comedy.
Remember when we had Neil on and we were talking about
space janitors?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's like space janitors.
Show me the space janitors. I want to see the space janitors movie for the Death Star. That's what I want to see. Absolutely. Because that was an effort.
I will say this. There was a show called Detours that George Lucas wrote on with my buddy Seth Green and everybody over at Stupid Buddy Studios. And it probably will never make the air. I mean, I hope it does one day, and I hope everybody gets to see it. But it has a lot to do with the behind the scenes of what happens on the Death Star and how the Death Star was made, and it follows some of the characters, characters that you've
Isn't
never met before.
Isn't there a Star Trek show called Lower Decks or something?
Yes, there is.
What's that about? Is that a comedy?
It is a comedy. It's a cartoon comedy, yes.
And it's about people that work like in the lower tiers of the ship?
Yep.
Yeah.
That's a great premise.
Yeah, that's a great premise, actually.
It's kind of like Space Janitor.
Exactly like Space
All right,
Janitor.
What's the name of the little rat pet that Jabba the Hutt has?
Salacious Crumb.
Yeah, that's mine. I'd like to see his origin story. How did he become Jabba's bitch?
Well, that those
Donald's
creatures,
gonna be like, well, that's covered in Rebels episode 3.
No, it's not. It's not. But those creatures are also cooked and eaten in The Mandalorian. So
they're
pets. They're not necessarily. It's like that's like asking what's the origin of my pet dog?
I want to see why.
There's a lot of movies like that.
Okay, Taylor, do you have an answer?
I think I'd have to go with Yoda, just because there's so much we don't know. Like, not so much that he gets completely ruined, but enough for us to be like, so that's where they come from, or something like that.
Right. The fact that they're so secretive right now, and that we've only seen 3 total in this whole galaxy, really makes it special. And I wouldn't want that to go away. You know what I mean?
All right. Good one, Taylor. You got everyone all riled up. What's your next question?
Well, my next question actually goes back to gaming. What was everybody's favorite game system and the game that went with it?
Oh, wow.
PlayStation 2.
Sega Genesis. Sega Genesis.
When the Nintendo GameCube came out and Bond dropped, that changed everything. I remember my friends would come over to my house just to play the fucking video game, and we'd smoke weed and play the game for hours and hours and hours. And after that, now you have Call of Duty. You have all of these games that are very similar to that. But in the beginning, there was 007, and also, people don't remember this, Star Fox.
Hey, oh, yeah.
Somewhere my husband is cheering with joy because he loves those games.
Okay. All right, what about you, Joelle?
I'm going to say PlayStation 2 was the first console I felt was like for me, and my parents let me put it in my room and not in the living room. And it had a DVD player. So like young cinephile Joelle got to like really explore movies independently of whatever my father wanted to watch, which was like a very new and like wide open experience. And then they had Final Fantasy X, which was an action game that involved magic but had a love story at its core.
Yes.
I was done. It was a perfect system. It was perfect.
Daniel?
PlayStation 4 and Rocket League. That was the game that I was just like, this game is so unique and different, and it is perfect for me, and I have not stopped playing it 2,700 hours later.
All right. Nice. I'm not much of an adult gamer, as we've discussed, but as a kid, I remember first of all, I had ColecoVision, which was baller.
That is the best. That was the best. If you had ColecoVision when you were a kid, man, you knew. Because the games looked just like the fucking arcade, man.
Yep.
Like the arcade.
ColecoVision was baller to have. And then I remember when the first NES came out, it came with a robot. Do you remember this?
Ooh, no.
Or if you've not, you can see pictures of it. It came with like, I think it was their very first system. And it came with like this little tiny robot that you were somehow supposed to use with one of the games.
Wow.
Yeah, Google image it
His
if you're curious.
His name was Rob.
Yeah.
Oh, Rob. Oh, my God, Rob.
He'd be
yes.
a great thing to have on your shelf. Buy him on eBay as a gaming. Hey, good present for your husband, Taylor. Find him a Rob on eBay. Rob. Because the first system came with this thing, and I didn't know what the hell he did, but he was supposed to work, but he didn't, but he looked cool. There you go. What's your answer, Taylor?
Mine would have to be the original PlayStation Spyro game.
Great game.
Oh,
great game.
Love always it. A part of my heart forever.
Yes.
And always.
Love it.
So
love
good.
That. We got them remastered on the PlayStation 4 and it made me so happy.
It's time for Provo, Utah's favorite segment, Donald.
Which segment is that?
You know what it is. It's time to fix your life. Taylor, you seem like your life's going great. You're married, you're gaming, you live in Provo, Utah, but you don't like to ski.
You're gaming.
Everything seems great. You got a big smile. I don't know what possible help you could need, but we're here for you.
Well, I need help with my Scrubs tattoo. I can't find a good original idea for a Scrubs tattoo.
I got it already.
Oh, what is it?
Yeah, I got my Deathly Hallows. I got family one there, but I need a Scrubs one.
Wow. This is a very good question. We've never been asked this. Donald?
I got a great one. Get the X-ray.
No. Well, you mean with the Scrubs on it? She might not want like the word Scrubs on it.
No, don't get Scrubs on it. Just get the backwards X-ray on it.
No, I don't like that.
Oh. That's so big, though. I don't think I got enough room.
Put it on your back. The whole back. Just do your back.
Let me think of a good answer.
Backwards X-ray on my back.
Yes.
I'm very into... I've seen people with the eagling. I've seen eagle tattoos of me riding Donald and our fists are up like that. Like that, but... what are other like seminal, Joelle, help us out here. Are other like seminal moments? You could get the tiki. You could get the tiki and write.
I've seen those.
Seen the tiki. I've seen some where it's just like it was like a heart, and then it was just Carla and Turk, which I obviously loved. Cause it's so cute. Classic Scrubs moment.
You could get two hands with including the wrist, and the brown wrist has a bracelet on it that says JD, and the white wrist has a bracelet on it that says Turk.
They have matching bracelets that say Turk and JD.
Yeah. Nice. That's why our matching bracelets say Turk and JD.
You know I stick by you for the rest of my life.
You're the only one who's ever been inside of me. Wait,
Taylor.
I just took out his appendix.
There's no
need to clarify.
Oh no. Just let them grow more and more each day.
It's like I married my best friend,
but in a totally manly way.
Let's go. My favorite part of the let's go is that we just point to the end of the head.
Yeah, let's go.
Let's go sing 18 inches away.
Yeah, let's sing the rest of the song over there.
Let's finish the rest of the song 18 inches to the right.
Yeah. Let's go.
You could do a chocolate bear and a vanilla bear. I think would be really cute. Also, quotes are great. Are you looking for images or quotes?
I'm good with either or. I just kind of want something that nobody's really thought of yet. Because I've seen the Scrubs, X-ray and the eagle. And I've seen a couple chocolate and vanilla bears.
Have you ever seen Frick on a stick with a brick?
No.
Someone photoshopped me riding an eagle. And I think if you added Donald to it, it could be great.
To be the two of you. I can't have one without the other.
No, I know. But
I
you
love
know
you, Taylor. Taylor. Thank you.
Taylor, you know
you
the
so
way
much.
But wait,
I
what's the
you.
Name of that giant dog bird and Neverending Story?
Are you kidding me? Falco.
Okay. Falco or Falcor?
Falcor.
Okay. So picture like a Falcor-sized eagle. Yes. And me and Donald are riding it.
Never in the story.
Yes.
No, you can make it small, Taylor. It doesn't have to be. I've never seen Neverending Story.
The only way to do it justice is to have it as a big old leg piece or back piece.
Mm. What?
I've never seen Neverending Story. Are you going to be all upset at me now?
No, because you've aged out, so it's not going to. It doesn't
hold. Oh, so Joelle says it doesn't hold up.
I agree with her 100%. It doesn't. It's boring.
Does the Ron Howard movie, fantasy movie, live up? What's it called?
Willow, yes. Willow's still good.
Okay.
Willow is still good.
Daniel, do you agree?
I don't think I've actually seen Willow. But I agree that Neverending Story does not hold up.
Yeah.
Okay.
Joelle just died for a minute.
Sorry. Yeah, Willow. Joelle gets very passionate when
Willow is a great. Willow is a great. I mean, there was rumors that they were going to do a television show for it. I don't know if that's ever going to happen, but. Freaking the movie, Val Kilmer. I watched a great documentary
on his life. About this.
A lot of people, when they come into the world, they have passions, and Val Kilmer's was cameras. So his whole life, he always had a video camera type things ever since he was younger. So Super 8 cameras. So he has a warehouse or something like that filled with all types of footage from his life. Like when he did a play with him, Sean Penn, and Kevin Bacon, like the three of them were in a play together on Broadway, like shit like that. Like this dude's lived an incredible life, and all we've seen is just some of his big hits and stuff like that. But he's, you know, there's a reason why he's so quirky and everything like that. Where everybody else was out trying to have a good time, it seemed like this dude was just solely focused on his craft. Very much like Sean Penn seemed solely focused on his craft.
And now he's lost his voice to throat cancer.
Yes,
right?
To throat cancer.
And the documentary is about his whole journey. I'm definitely going to watch that. I might watch that tonight.
It's very interesting, man. Very interesting.
All right. Taylor, you're welcome.
So many ideas.
You got some ideas.
I'm going to tell you something right now. I got the perfect one for you, okay?
Just Donald's face.
Don't put my face on your face, but put my face like near, like on your cheek, like
no,
just
don't
on
get
the
a face
cheek.
Tattoo, Taylor.
Get my face. Yeah, but
whenever I see these, whenever I see
but every
these,
time anybody sees you, they'll be like, "Holy shit, look at your face."
Listen, anytime
that's Donald's face on.
Anytime I see someone with a face tattoo, I'm like, note to self: don't tattoo face.
Kehlani's the only one who got it right.
Yeah. Who?
No, it's just no way. Hold on, Kehlani's just sexy. Hold on now. Kehlani's just sexy. She ain't get it right. At some point, somebody's gonna be like, "What's that on your face?" At some point,
really cute little airplane.
Who's Kehlani? I'm sorry.
Kehlani. She's a singer.
A pop singer.
Yeah.
Or like,
I don't think face tattoos are wise, but maybe I'm just old. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't like face tattoos either.
It's like 1 in 1,000 to look anywhere near good. So, no, I think it's just not worth the roll of the dice.
So, Taylor, no face.
But I think, Taylor, my face on your cheek.
I don't think your husband will like it. If
your husband will love it. Your husband will kiss it. He'll kiss that cheek more than he kisses the other cheek. I bet you that.
If your husband came home, you're like, "Hon, I got a tattoo of Donald Faison on my face." I don't think he'd like that.
He'd love it.
He'd ask me like, how drunk I was.
He would kiss that cheek so much.
Oh, how about Donald's cheek? Get Donald's cheek on your cheek.
Just get Donald's beard, like right
yes.
here.
Yeah. Just get Donald's mole. There you go.
That's even better. You should take a picture of my face and then have the tattoo artist match my beard and mustache perfectly. And get that put on your face.
All right. Well, that's our show
this week,
everybody.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
Welcome. You're welcome.
You're welcome.
Please, Taylor, let us know how that turns out. And that's it. Thanks for tuning in. Anybody want to say anything? Joelle, Daniel, Donald?
As always, at right now where we are, we're jumping up again. I don't know where we'll be when this airs. I just want everybody to just, you know, be mindful of your neighbors and of your loved ones and check on them. It seems like we're going backwards, but still moving forwards. And you know, just take care of each other. I wanted to say that. Yeah. At least where we are right now, that's how it feels.
You're here.
Call your mom. Tell your lover. Call your dad. Yeah. Be kind. Amen. Be loving. Amen. And if you are living in Provo, Utah, maybe learn how to ski.
Bye, buddy.
All right, bye everybody. 5, 6, 7, 8.
Stories about a show we made about a bunch of docs and nurses. And-